Today's share is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Amalei Rav Acha Berei Derovel Rav Ashi. B'yod Amamisim Chinalei, we continue discussing the Halacha of Smicha, of appointing somebody to be a Samuch, to have an unbroken chain of Smicha. And the question is, the question the Gemara begins with is, how exactly is the smicha done? Is it done with the hand? Did you have to put the hand, the person giving the smicha, to put smicha on top of the head of the person who's learning the smicha? And as the Inyan Yaakov explains the Gemara, at the end of our previous year, we spoke about that we learned the halachas of smicha was from when Moshe Rabbeinu conferred smicha on Yeshua. And therefore, our Gemara's question now is, when we speak about smicha, is it done the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua? Or, since, as we mentioned at the end of yesterday's shir, the smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu did, of course, was very unique. It was done by Moshe Rabbeinu. So, we can't use that as a perfect model for all other cases. Amalei, to which he responded, smicha mla b'shma. All that's need to be done for a smicha is to say that, give him the title, Karlei Rebbe. He gets the title of Rebbe, Yavle Rishusa, and he's given authorization, Lamedi Dinei Knossos, to Paskin Shiles of Dinei Knossos. The Taisus Yontif explains that why doesn't require that we should put his hands, because we need to be concerned that the Soymech, and we're going to discuss this later in our shir, it may not be necessary for the person receiving the smicha to be right next to the person conferring the smicha. And since it might not necessarily require that they be next to each other, that's why the Gemara is saying that we don't require that the hand be put on, so we could be able to continue doing smicha. But, as we're learning, in order to do dinei knossos, only a person who has smicha could give smicha, and only he could do dinei knossos, because as we learned at the beginning of Amasechta, the pasuk says, v'nikra balabais el olehim, and we learned from those psukim that for knossos you have to be somebody who has smicha. And even though, as we learned at the beginning of Amasechta, Chazal have a consideration of leitinel delos b'fnei lovin. Chazal were concerned that people should lend each other money. But we also learned that even though Chazal had that concern, but Chazal didn't have that concern by dinei knossos. Ask the Gemara. But we've been learning that smicha has to be done by three people. Ask the Rav Chadloi Samach, is one person not qualified to do smicha? V'amar b'Yehuda b'Rav, b'Ram zoicha oisa ish l'toiv, Rav Yehuda ben Baba Shmai, there was this great individual whose name was Rav Yehuda ben Baba, shomali hu nishtakech dinei knossos in Yisrael. If not for him, we would have forgotten, there would be no more dinei knossos in Yisrael. Ask them, what does it mean they would have been forgotten? Nishtakech, if they're forgotten, nigrasinu, learn and you'll remember. Says the Gemara, el botlo dinei knossos in Yisrael, there would be no more dinei knossos in Yisrael, because there would be nobody that would have smicha. The Gemara, as we're going to learn, there would be no more smicha, and there would be no more smicha, then we could not judge any more dinei knossos. And as Taisus explains, Rav Yehuda ben Bava was able to give smicha because he himself had smicha. And Taisus teaches us that only someone who has smicha in an unbroken chain of smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu has the authorization to give smicha. And it has to, of course, be only in Eretz Yisrael. It's very interesting to point out that the Rambam says that it is possible to reinstate smicha even after the chain of smicha has been broken. The Rambam writes that Rambam writes that if it appears to him, this is the Rambam in Sehilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet Halachiyot Aleph, that if all of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael were to agree to give certain individual smicha, they have the collective authority to give smicha if there's such a consent. And the Rambam says that there has to be a way to reinstate smicha, because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Vashiva shaftayach kaberishayna." But before Mashiach comes, Hashem will restore our judges as in the old days. Now, even so that means there has to be a method, says the Rambam, that before Mashiach coming, we should be able to have Shaftayach, we should be able to have halachically acceptable Rabbanim who have smicha. And in the 16th century, a group of Rabbanim in the city of Tzfas, which was where most Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time, took the opinion of the Rambam and gave smicha to the Ma'ari Beirav. Actually, the Ma'ari Beirav, after he receiving smicha, ultimately gave smicha to some of his Talmidim, one of them being actually Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. When the Maralbach, who actually lived in Yerushalayim, was informed, he was not happy about it. First of all, he says that the Rambam seems to say that himself, that he's not 100% certain that this is what should be done. Secondly, that the Maralbach required the consent of virtually every Rav in Eretz Yisrael, not just a majority, which was not the case in the smicha of the Meiber Rav. The Maralbach himself says, but what am I going to do with the pasuk of a Shiva Shaftayach Kaberishayna, which seems to indicate that there will be qualified Dayanim before Mashiach comes? So the Maralbach explains that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi will appear, and Eliyahu HaNavi will give smicha at that time, because Eliyahu HaNavi, he says, was a person who received smicha. Eliyahu HaNavi, we know, never really passed away. He went to Shemayim alive, and therefore, says the Maralbach, we will be able to have Vashiva Shaftayach Berishayna when Mashiach comes, because Eliyahu HaNavi will give smicha. It's most interesting that our Gemara, when it speaks about Rabbi Yehuda, it says Bram Yehuda, he calls him Oysa Ish. And the Shas HaTshuvas Toras Chaim says that we know that throughout Shas, the title of Oysa Ish is a very negative title. And the question is, how could we use that title for somebody so great as Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba? And he says that we always have to, whenever we use a title, whenever we speak about something like this, we have to look at the context. The context where he's being called Oysa Ish, it says, Zohar Oysa Ish L'toiva. He's being remembered in a very positive way. And since he was being remembered in such a positive way, that's why we could use the word, we could use the title of Zohar Oysa Ish. So says the Gemara exactly what happened. Shepamach Gzozra Malchus, the Roman Empire made a rule, Gzozra Malchus Rish Gzeril Yisrael, Shekola Soymichi Harig, whoever gives smicha should be killed, because they realized, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, that once smicha is abolished and that unbroken chain falls apart, it cannot be reinstated. And that's why they were most anxious to abolish the smicha. The kol hanismach yihareg, and anyone who receives smicha should be killed, and ir shesoim chambay, even the city should be destroyed. And the reason, says the Ben Yoyada, they made this rule, they were concerned that people will give the smicha in quietly, so, and that's how they'll get away with it. But now, if the entire city is at risk, So A, the people who give smicha will be reluctant to give the smicha under such circumstances. And the people of that city, the people of that city will prevent anybody from giving smicha in their city, for they know that what is going to happen if smicha is given in their city. And the tchum in which the city is given should be destroyed. Again, that, again, says the Mashal, will prevent people from giving smicha. Another explanation I saw is that they would typically give smicha on Shabbos. On a Shabbos, they are most concerned, we know, about tchum Shabbos. So that's why they made the rule about the tchum of the area of the city should not give smicha. Ma'aso Yehuda ben Baba, what did Yehuda ben Baba do? Hola for Yashla ben Shnei Harm Gedoilim. He put himself between two mountains. And the simple pshat is that he would be concealed by these two big mountains. Another pshat that the Yad Ramah suggests is they just said that any city and any place where there's smicha given will be wholly destroyed. But you can't destroy a mountain. So that's why Yehuda ben Baba specifically gave smicha in a place near mountains, which they could not completely uproot. Between two big cities, and again, the purpose of this is that they cannot be able to point to any one city and say, this is the city where the smicha was given. And where was this? He gave smicha to five Talmid Chachamim. Ve'elahein, Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Avi Moisef, Afl, Rabbi Nechemya. They gave smicha also to Rabbi Nechemya. Kivin Shakira Oivimahen, when the Romans saw what happened, Amalhem, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba said to his Talmidim, Banai, my Talmidim Rutsu, run away. Amalhem, Rabbi Matei Elecha, what about you? You are an elderly person and you can't run away. So he said, I'm ready to be here like a stone that can't be moved. And they said, the enemy did not leave. They threw at him 300 spears, shabaz, made out of iron, and he was made like into a sieve. So we see from here that some say the Inyaku suggests that he could have maybe run away, but he didn't run away, so they should take revenge on him. And by taking revenge on him, they'll forget about the people who got smicha, and they'll be able to represent the continuity of Klal Yisrael. So the Ben Yoyada asks, why are we only complimenting Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba? Also, the people who received smicha should be complimented for the Mesiris Nefesh to be ready to receive smicha. So one teretz, he says, that they were young people, and they were confident that they would be able to run away. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, as we just learned, was an elderly person. He knew he can't run away. Another pshat that he offers is that they could always say that they weren't there to receive smicha. They were only there to see, to witness what was happening. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba would not have that excuse that he was just there to witness the way it was happening. He was actually the one that was conferring the smicha. And that's why he was much more in danger than they were. The Gemara, we're going to learn later in our Masechta, that says that there are only three averis for which one has to be ready to give up his life: avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim. Other places, one says the halacha is you're not supposed to give up your life. So the question is, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba ready to give up his life? So the Ran says that only by mitzvahs loisa say in a time of gezeira are you supposed to give up your life. But this is a mitzvah asay. So the Ketz of Mishnah says, from here we see that even in a time of gezeira against Kla Yisrael, even for a mitzvah to say, one has to be ready to give up his life. The Knesset Gedolah, however, has a different approach. The Knesset Gedolah's approach is that what Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was a person who was a great tzaddik, and a person who's a great tzaddik is allowed to give up his life for any situation. But that doesn't mean that that's the letter of the law. And along that line, the Cheshuki Chemed has a discussion here where, unfortunately, as we know, there are places in Eretz Yisrael that are dangerous to be. And the question that he discusses is that somebody goes, is a Maggid Shir, and he goes to give Shurim in different communities throughout Israel, and traveling on those roads could be dangerous. So on one hand, an argument can be made that he's a Shliach Mitzvah. And the halacha is that Shliach Mitzvah ain't in Nezaiken. We also have what we just learned in our Gemara about Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, who was ready to give up his life for this purpose. On the other hand, we have proof from different places that in a place where Shchiach Hezeka, one is not allowed to put himself into danger. So how do we reconcile this situation? On one hand, it's Talmud Torah Derabim. On the other hand, it's Sakonis Nefashis. And there's really no clear answer to this question. And presumably the answer to the question is that one has to judge how much of a danger is it. And if it's a situation where it's a serious danger, then one should not put himself in danger. When it's only a situation of a question, then maybe there's room for leniency. So what we see from here is that Yehuda ben Baba gave smicha by himself. And we're learning that smicha has to be given by three people. Answers the Gemara, Yehuda ben Baba, achrina hava badei. And there were other people together with Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. So ask the Gemara of Haidalei Chashvelu. So why are those individuals not mentioned? Says the Gemara, Mishum Kfayda Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. They weren't as great as Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. And the Rishonim discuss this Gemara when halacha is that we have to have three people for giving smicha. What does that mean? That all three people who are giving the smicha have to be people who they themselves have smicha? Or perhaps only one of them has to be one that has smicha and the other two don't. And that approach would make most sense in the Gemara we're learning now. The reason the other two people are not mentioned because they weren't people who they themselves had smicha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was. Says the Gemara of Rameya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Samchei, asked the Gemara, did Ramei receive smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba? Asked the Gemara, Omer Rabba Babachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ha, Kala Omer Ramei, Le Samcha Rabbi Kiva, anybody who says the Ramei did not receive smicha from Rabbi Kiva, and El Otaya, is making an error. So we see that Ramei got smicha from Rabbi Kiva, not from Yehuda ben Baba. Answers the Gemara, Samchei, the Rabbi Kiva gave him smicha, V'loi Kiblai. And the reason he didn't accept the smicha is because he was still not married. And therefore, he wasn't ready to accept the smicha. Samcha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba gave his smicha, Kiblai, he accepted it. Which is, in fact, a discussion. May we give smicha to anybody who's below 18 years old? Interestingly, to point out, the Shulchan Aruch in Chayshim Mishpat Simen Zayin Sif Beis says Yesh Oimrim She'ein Dain Roy Lodun. Nobody could be a Dain Elme Ben Hiyut Chesamal unless he's above 18. And in Yerideya Simen Aleph Sif Hey Ein Noisne Kabbalah Lishchait. We don't give Kabbalah for somebody to be allowed to be a Shchita, to do Shchita Ben Yud Pachs Ben Yud Ches if he's below 18 years old. And all the Noisne Kailim explain that because when you're below 18, your maturity has completely not developed. And therefore, everybody agrees that below 18, there's no smicha. Below 18, there's no sheikhet. There's a question does somebody have to be 40 years old to be able to be a dayan? And there are those that have the quote, the Shalos HaTshuvos Afkas Roichel, the Shalos HaTshuvos HaMabit, speak about that there was a rule established in Egypt that a Rav should not be below 40. And the Mabit writes that he, halvai, that in Eretz Yisrael, they also made that type of a rule. But then I saw that there, first of all, the Rambam doesn't bring down that requirement that somebody getting smicha has to be 40 years old. And then I saw that the Poskim suggest that today, in our world, where there's so many Sfarim, and when a Rav needs to pass in a Shaila, he could look it up in Sfarim. So it makes it easier for someone who's below that age to pass in a Shaila. The Birkei Yosef and the Pesachei Tshuva want to differentiate between questions of Issa V'Heter, Kosher, and Treif, where there you don't have to be 40 years old, versus Dine Mumnis, to be a dayan for financial Din Torah, that you have to be 40 years old. Amar Yishu ben Levi, Ein Smicha b'chutz l'aretz. Ask the Gemara, my Ein Smicha, what was meant with this Smicha, with this statement? Ilem v'deloy don dine k'nosus klal b'chutz l'aretz doesn't mean that there's no cases of k'nosus that are judged in chutz l'aretz. Ask the Gemara, doesn't the Mishnah Masech the Makis, the Zayin Amon Alf teach us, v'otanan, Sanhedrin na'eg espein ba'oretz, bein b'chutz l'aretz. Ela, says the Gemara, what it means to say is, the loy samchina b'chutz l'aretz, smich is not conferred in chutz l'aretz. And the reason being that smicha, as we're learning, is not just a test where somebody passes and gets the right mark and he gets a license. It's conferring the smicha from one generation to other generation. It means it's conferring the Ruach HaKodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Yeshua. And that type of level of Ruach HaKodesh is only in Eretz Yisrael. Others explain that in Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah of having dayonim in every city. So since there's a mitzvah of having dayonim in every city, there has to be smicha in every city to be able to fulfill that requirement. In chutz l'aretz, there is no such rule. And therefore, smicha is not required and isn't given in chutz l'aretz. Says the Gemara, pshita. There's no question, soimchim b'chutz l'aretz. If the person giving smicha is the chutz l'aretz, then the smachim b'aretz, and the person that's receiving in the smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, everybody will agree that it's not acceptable, because smicha, the person giving smicha, has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, ela ba'aretz, the smachim b'chutz l'aretz. If the person, smachim ba'aretz, the person giving the smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, but the person who's receiving the smicha is b'chutz l'aretz, is in chutz l'aretz. Do we follow the Soimchim, and the Soimchim are in Eretz Yisrael, or not? That's the way some Rishonim learn the Gemara. The way other Rishonim learn the Gemara is that the Gemara's question is not because the person receiving Smicha is in Chutz L'aretz, but rather the Gemara's question is, does the Smicha have, the person receiving the Smicha have to be next to the person who's giving the Smicha? And if they're in two different locations, it's not acceptable. Toshma, says the Gemara, Toshma, the Rabbi Yochanan Mitztar later of Shimon Bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan was very upset regarding Shimon Bar Abba that he wanted to give him smicha, but the lehava gabei de lismichei, he wasn't in his proximity to give him smicha. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Zirud, v'chad de imei, there was someone else with him, v'manu, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achmoy, v'amalei, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achmoy, v'chad de imei, u'manu Rav Shimon ben Zirud, chad de ha gabei samchua, there was one person that was in their vicinity, and that's why they were able to confer smicha on that individual. V'chad de loy have a gabayu, but there was another individual who was not in their vicinity, and that's why loy samchua, they weren't able to give him smicha. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina v'Rav Oishia, have kamashak Rabbi Yochanan was very anxious to give smicha to Rav Chanina of Aisha. And lo yehav mistayim milsa. As much as he wanted to, he couldn't give them smicha. Rashi explains that as we're learning that he had to have three people to give smicha, that and he couldn't find two other people to be there with him. So this is clearly an indication that the requirement of three people giving smicha, it should be all three people who have smicha. But as we said, the Rambam says that only one has to be giving half smicha. The other two individuals don't have to have smicha. But rather, the issue here was, it just never worked out. Have a kometzar tuva. And he was very upset that this was happening. Don't be upset. We are from the family of Eli. And says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel ben Nachman, Amr Rabbi Yonasan, Menayin she'ein esmach l'beis Eli. How do we know that we don't give smicha to people from the family of Eli? Shnemar, the pasuk says that Shmuel cursed the family of Eli because they acted inappropriately with the way they acted as kohanim in the base in the Mishkan, and he said to them, Lo yizakim veischecha kol hayomim. My zakin. What did he mean with that statement? Elaim zakim mamish, that there won't be anybody that's old. That we already know, because it says v'ksiv kol barbas beischecha yimusa anoshim, that everybody from your family will die young. Ella, what he meant to say was that nobody from your family will have smicha. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, that if the people of Eli's family learn Torah, teach Torah, and give tzedakah, they will live longer, that is fine. But it still can't make that they should be able to give, that they should be able to receive smicha. Rav Zeira have a mitma mil mismachei. Rav Zeira was hiding himself that he didn't want to receive smicha. Why was he anxious to not get smicha? It says the Gemara, the Amar B'lozal Olam have a kabel v'kayim. If a person should stay away from being in a position of authority, af v'kayim, a person should be low-key. And I saw that's pshat, what it says in Pirkei Avos, that sneas rabonis. What does it mean to hate Rabbonis? You're supposed to hate Rabbonim, you're supposed to hate Rabbonis. Rather, what it means is that the Rabbonis, the pomp that comes along, the covet that comes along with the Rabbonis, that don't look for. And that's why he was avoiding it, because he wasn't looking to get the covet. Others say he was trying to hide because he didn't want to have ein hara. And others say that when a person is put into that position, they review min hashamayim if he's truly worthy of this position. And he didn't want to be examined by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kivin the Shem l'hadam Rabbi Elazar. But then when he heard Rabbi Elazar said that just the opposite, that ein adam oyla l'gdula, nobody's appointed to a position of authority, el mekei moichel l'kalav anaysov, unless just the opposite. He had mechilas avoinus. So then, that on the contrary, that's something that he wanted, that he said, I want to have mechilas avoinus and amtzalei nafshei. The Noam Megadim explains that Chazal say in Masechta Erevin Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph Kol Hamashpil Atzmoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megbiyoi. That's what is meant here. If somebody like Reb Zeira first went out of his way to be in a very low key, that he acted with tremendous modesty. An individual who acts with this level of modesty, then he is going to be the person that will be zoicha. He will be the person that will be zoicha to the bracha of getting mechilas avoinus. He will be zoicha to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Yisam chaler of Zeira. So when they gave Reb Zeira smicha, this is what they sang at that ceremony. Like chal, no makeup. For like srak, these are different types of makeups. For like pirchas, v'yalas chayin. A beautiful woman doesn't need makeup to make herself beautiful. You too have this great beauty. Says the Gemara, Yisamchal Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Shari Lehachi. When Rav Ami and Rav Asi received smicha, what they sang at the ceremony was, Kamidain, Smuchalanu. Anybody who are like these individuals are worthy of smicha. Letismuchalanu, but don't give smicha to loy mesamaretim, people that don't explain well what their opinion is. Veloy mefarmisim, somebody who says the improper pshat, incorrect pshat in Torah. Vamrei loy mechamnisim, people who hold back from teaching Torah. Veloy mefarmasim, people who aren't really great people. That's the pshat that Rashi explains. The Yad Rama says, samisim means that the people who are leaders, people who take tax, samitim, are people who don't paskin correctly. Chamsinan are people who steal other people's money. Doruch explains that pamisim is that somebody who doesn't sew the hem properly, and therefore it's not straight. Vesamitin is somebody who's like a shmata, he's not acting properly. A chamisin is somebody who's quick to judge without really thinking through what he's saying. Another pshat is that chamisin is that they don't learn all of Shas, they just learn certain parts of Shas. Samitin, that they don't learn it, the whole perek from the beginning to end. And chamisim is that they only learn, chamisim is 20%, they only learn 20% of the mesechta. The tamisim, they only take out from a mesechta to halacha. A person has to have the proper bekiyas in knowing shas to be considered able to get smicha. Ravua, kev osim mesechta be keser. Ravua, when he would come from yeshiva back home, nafke metanus de be keser. The women of the be keser would come out to greet him and would say, Mishanale, they were seeing him, Rabbi the Ame, the great leader of your people, Rabbanah the Musa, the leader of his people, but Sina the Nahara, person who gives off light, Baruch Messiah L'Sholem. So the Mefarshim point out that one of the qualities that a Talmud Chacham has to have is that he has to be beautiful. And that's what they said, you are a most beautiful individual. And the bracha they were giving to him is that the true responsibility of a dayan is to bring shalom, brich masayach l'shalom, you should bring peace amongst your people. We learned in the Mishnah that arifas agol egla, the procedure of arifas agol is with three dayanim, divrei Rav Shimon, Yudayim v'chamisha, Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says in the parish of egla rucha, Shavtecha represents Shnayim. Shavtecha represents Shnayim. Ain't Bez Din Shokel, but we're never allowed to have an even number. That's how Rabbi Yehuda says we have five Dayanim. Rav Shimon Omer, Zekenecha is two. Ain't Bez Din Shokel, but we can't have an even number. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon, Hai Shavtecha, my Avadlei. What does he do with the word Shavtecha? Answers the Gemara, Humi Boilei, Humi Yuchadim, Shavtecha. We can't use Dayanim from the Sanhedrin Katana, from the Dayanim of the 23-member Bezdin. We have to use Dayanim from the Sanhedrin Gedoyla, 70-member Bezdin. Rabbi Yehuda, that he needs the word Shavtecha to tell us how many Dayanim we have. Where does he know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara, he learns it from Ziknei Zikanecha. The Torah could have just said Yotzu Ziknei Shavtecha. The Torah says Zikanecha. So we learn both halachas, that two, and that they have to be the Miuchadim. Rav Shimon, why does he have to learn it from that way? Says the Gemara, Im Ziknei, if the Torah would have just said Ziknei, I mean Ziknei Ashok, any Talmud Chacham. Kas Rachman Zikanecha. Viksev Zikanecha. If the Torah would have just written Zekanech Avimena, we would think that even members of the Sanhedrin Kentana could be used for this procedure. Rabbi Yehuda, so again, we're back. how could he use the word Sheftecha to tell us Dayarim? We needed to tell us that the Zakenim should be members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah. Says the Gemara, Gama Ziknei Ziknei. He learns the following Gzeres Shava. The Pasuk says, as we discussed in our previous year, regarding the Smicha that's done on the Par Helam Dovash Tzibur. And the Pasuk says, V'samchu Ziknei Eda Es Yedeyem. Ma'ala Halon, which Zakenim are the ones that do the smicha on the parahel and davish tzibur, hamiyuchadim shebazara, shebed eda, members of the Sanhedrin gedayla, afkan, that's how we know, is hamiyuchadim shebezikinecha. So ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda has this gzereshava, iyalef, if he has this gzereshava, leilef, kula mahasam, she should learn the entire halacha from there, that should be the source for how many dayanim we need for this. And these psukim that we've been using to teach us how many dayanim we need, lamali, says the Gemara, it must be Sheftecha Limanyana. Vishaftecha, the extra Vav. It says the Gemara, Rav Shimon, Vav Loidarish. Says the Gemara, Alame Ata. Now that we say that Zekenecha means two Zekenim, the Pasuk also says, so why don't we use that pasuk to increase the number of dayanim and say v'yotzu means shnayim or maradu shnayim? So that will add another four, and therefore, according to Yehuda, who it shouldn't just be five dayanim. Harei Tisha, we should have to have nine dayanim, and according to Shimon, it shouldn't be three dayanim. It should be shiva. It should be seven dayanim. Answers the Gemara, it's needed for a different limud. The Zakenim themselves have to go out to do this procedure, and they can't just send messengers. Umaradu comes to teach us a filo nimtza balila ear. We know that the procedure requires that we should measure which is the city that this corpse is closest to. But let's say it's obvious which is the city that's closest. Still, Sarch Lasik Bemedida, we still have to go through the procedure. And as the Miri explains, the reason is because we don't know who murdered this individual. And we're trying to find the murderer. So the more publicity that's put to this will help us identify who was the murderer. And therefore, we go through this procedure. Even though it's technically unnecessary, hopefully that will be a way to discover who was the murderer. Says the Gemara, Masnisan, our Mishnah that says that the only people that could participate, that the dayanim that participate in the Egel Arufa procedure are members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah, says the Gemara's Loikai Tana, is not consistent with the following Tana. The Tanya of Lezab and Yaakov Omer, the Yotzu Zekenecha Veshevtecha, Zekenecha Zu Sanhedrin, Shevtecha Zu Melech Vekain Godel. Melech, how do we know that the Melech, the Ksiv Melech, that refers to the Melech? Because the Pasuk says, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. Kain Godel, the Ksiv Basel, Kain v'lovim v'lashoifit. So we see from here that you have to have, the according to him, the Melech and the Kain Godel. So ask the Mashal, how do we know that you have to have, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, that you have to have members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah, if he's using these psukim to teach us Melech and Kohen Gadol? So Rashi answers that it could go either direction. It could be used to teach us that you need from Sanhedrin Gedolah. It could be used to teach us that you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Since both drushes are equal, we accept both drushes, and therefore we need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol on one side. And on the other side, they have to also have members of the Sanhedrin Gedolah. Ibailahu. So ask the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Chodapolog, Batati Plog. How do we understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion? Doesn't mean he argues regarding the Melech and Kohen Gadol Polog, that he requires that the Melech and Kohen Gadol be there, and everybody else disagrees. Avil, the Sanhedrin, when we talk about members, how many members of the Sanhedrin we have to have, in that question, Ikrab Yehuda Ikrab Shimon, he's going to agree that either three or five members are brought from the Sanhedrin, or Dilma, the Sanhedrin Nami Polig, and he's going to disagree regarding the Sanhedrin, and he's going to hold the Kula Sanhedrin Be'inon, that you have to bring the entire Sanhedrin. So the Sefer Ben Yishlema asks, in Shas we're always trying to minimize Machlaikas. So yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is clearly disagreeing that he holds we take the Melech Kohen Gadol. But why would we want to say he's a disagreeing regarding the entire Sanhedrin when there's no point to it? So he answers, the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says Zekenecha Zu Sanhedrin, so the Pasha Pshat Zekenecha means the entire Sanhedrin. And that's why the Gemara wants to know, what does he mean? There's a Pasha in the Torah of Zaka Mamre. Zaka Mamre is somebody who's a great Talmud Chacham, who is able to sit on the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin, he passed in one way, and the Sanhedrin passed in a different way, and he went back to his city and continued holding with his own opinion. But he's chayiv Mises Chenek. But it's only considered that an individual is a Zokim Mamre, is only in a case where he went to the Sanhedrin, heard what they said, and then still saying different from that. Amar Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, Toshma, the Braisa that speaks about the Zokim Mamre, speaks about a case where Motzon Beis Pagi, they found, the Zokim Mamre found the Sanhedrin on the Beis Pagi, which there's a machlokes exactly where it was. Some say it was within the old walls of Yerushalayim. Some say it was actually near the Har Habayis. Some say it was on the Har Habayis. Some say it was near the Har Habayis. Motzer Beis Pagi, he found the Sanhedrin on the Beis Pagi, Vimralim, and he went against the Ipsak. Yochel Te Amros Amro, we would consider that a situation of being a Zokim Mamre. Tamaloyim, the Pasuk says, the Kamta Valisa Alamokim, Melamed Shemokim Goyrim. Only when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the Lishkas Hagazis and he goes against them, that's Melamed Shemokim Goyrim. So the Shem Mishmul uses this to help understand the Gemara Masechta Shabbos regarding Chanukah. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, when it speaks about Chanukah, Daf Chof Amud Beis says, the Shana Acheres Kovim V'Asim Yom Tovim, the next year after the tremendous nace of Hallel, the next of Chanukah, they made it into a Yontiv B'Hallel V'Aydah. And the question is that why did they do it that way? So he explains that V'Kamta V'Lisa L'Mokim Melamed Shamakam Gairim, that everything has to be done in the makam of the Lishkas Hagazis. So he says that year they couldn't enter the Lishkas Hagazis because they were tamei. So they had to wait to the next year. Only when the next year could they make this decision when they were able to come into the Beis Hamikdash and make this and promote this rule that it's Chanukah. Says the Gemara, the Nafak Melamed Shalokim Bekayim. Says the Gemara, the Nafak Bekama. How many of the Sanhedrin were not in the Lishkas Hagazis? Ilam and Maktsasa. If some of the Sanhedrin weren't there, why? So it's obvious that he won't become a Zokim Mamre, because we need to think. Maybe those that weren't there would agree with him. El Pshita the Nafka Kula. It must be that the entire Sanhedrin left the Lishkas Hagazis and are found on Beis Pagai. Lamai. So ask the Gemara, why would they have left the Lishkas Hagazis? Ilema Ladvarishus, they just left. Ask the Gemara, Mimotsa Nafki, are they allowed to leave the Lishkas Hagazis? The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Sarayich Agan Asar Ayech Sam Mezek. There always have to be at least 23 members of the Sanhedrin available in the Lishkas Hagazis. El Olav, El Pshita. Why do we have a situation that they all left the Lishkas Hagazis? Because they left for doing a Dvar Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly which Dvar Mitzvah did they go for? Lav, Ladita Saragola. It must be that they went out to do the Egla Rufa procedure. And it must be that this Brisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we're going to see that he says, Duma Kula Sanhedrin Beinan, that we take out the entire Sanhedrin for Egla Rufa. Amla Abaya, to which Abaya says, Loi. That's not correct. They all went out. They went to extend the city of Yerushalayim or extend the Azara. As we learned at the Mishnah, the beginning of our Masechta, that the entire Bezdin has to be there to extend the city. Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yosef, Mosin Abayis Pagavim Aleihem. And what's the example, says the Brisa, that went out? But we don't have any proof that how many people, so we have a proof that the entire Sanhedrin went after Medidas Agola, and that must be the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Here we're learning about a Zaka Mamre. But the question that the Achroinim discuss, why isn't every time you go against what the Sanhedrin says a violation of Lay Sosser? So the Rambam seems to say that only when you go against the Sanhedrin is it Lay Sosser. Rabbi Chanan disagrees. That's what the Sefer Maganisa Toiva says in the Rambam. He says, of course, anybody who violates the Sanhedrin, what any Tekanas Chazal is over Leisosser. There's a new din with all of the rules that we're learning in our halacha, in our shir, that you have to have the entire Sanhedrin and you have to be in the Lishkas Hagazis. Then and only then do we have the din of Azaka Mamre. Natar Avayu Maisa Sheni, we learned further in the Mishnah. Natar Avayu or Maisa Sheni Shein Dom Mevidun B'Shloisha. Asks, begins the Brisa. Taraban is a ma'aser sheni she'ein dam mevidum. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Peiris Shir Kivu, because the Gemara's question is, everything has a price, so why should it be so hard to determine when you want to redeem it, what is their value? Says the Gemara, Peiris Shir Kivu, fruit that are not that good, the yayin shehikrim, or wine that got spoiled, or ma'a shechlidu, or the money lost its value. So of course, the halacha here is talking about where they still have some value. If they're useless, then there would be no question. Tanabonim, Maisa Sheni Shein Dom of Yiduim, Poidnaisa B'Shloish Lekuchas. We use three people to make the evaluation. Machloikas Rishonim, what is the definition of Lekuchas? Rashi says Lekuchas means people who are experts in making these assessments. Other Rishonim say that the definition of Lekuchas is the Yad Ramah, says somebody who wants to actually buy. And that's why the Gemara uses the word lekuchas. Somebody who actually wants to buy knows what he wants to spend. Avalei b'shloisha shein lekuchas. Rashi pshat again. People who are not experts. Afilu nochri echad mehen. Afilu echad mehem balim. Even one of them is a nochri, even one of them is the owner. If they are experts, they could participate. Barab yomya. Shloisha you have three people, but all three of them are together partners. Toshma, Ishvishtei Noshav, Poidim Maisa Sheni Shein Dom of Yiduim. So you see that a husband and two wives, presumably that they're all part of one family, one business, and they could participate. Says the Gemara, that's not a proof. Because Dilma could go and Rapapa Bas Abasura, that even though they were married, they had separate businesses, and therefore they're not, therefore they could combine. But if they were all partners, maybe they can't combine. Hagdashis b'shloisha. The Mishnah says that you pay the hegdash with three people. Says the Gemara, Mishnissin d'loikai Tana. Our Mishnah is not consistent with this Tana. The Tanya of Elazar ben Yaakov Aymer, afilu tsunura shel hegdash, even a small toothpick that's made out of, that's hegdash, that's used, they used it for sewing. Tzricha asar b'nei adam l'fdaisa. Says the Gemara. Amalei papal abaya. Bishlam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov.
that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Amka Shmuel, that he holds like Shmuel, where he says, when the Torah speaks about redeeming Hegdish, the Torah uses the word Koyin 10 times, and that's why he says you have to have 10 people for whenever you're redeeming Hegdish. El Rabbanan, Shloshim Analu, where do they get the number 3? The Chitema, Sibul Shloisha, when the Torah speaks about redeeming an animal that's not kosher, that's Hegdish, it says the word Koyin 3 times. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, so when the Torah speaks about karkos, redeeming real estate that belongs to Hegdish, the Ksibah Arba, and the Torah uses the word Koyin 4 times, so the Lach ought to be Tizkib Arba, we should have to have 4 Kahanim. The Chitema, we should have 4 people for that assessment. The Chitema Achanami, if you'll say that indeed is the Halacha, says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, karkos Tishra Koyin, 10, 9, and a Koyin. Elamai, how must we understand the parsha? The Mishnah Bibai Asara. The Torah has the word Koyin all together. Therefore, Shmuel says that since the Torah has Koyin all together, 3 when it speaks about the redemption of Erechin, 3 when it speaks about the redemption of Behemoth Temeah, 3, 4 by Karka, that's why we have 10. So if that's the case, we say one is a continuation of the other. Hagdesha de Mishalma Bashita Libayashita. So then the being Paida Hegdish, we should have to have 6 people. First the Torah speaks about the 3 people by Behemoth Temeah, and then it speaks about the 3 people by Hegdish. So 3 people, so it should be 3 plus 3. And therefore the question is why are we saying that you need 3? It should be 6. And the Gemara remains with Akasha.